McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1-800-50-1111. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Well, I hope you had a good weekend. Niall Boylan with you right here to midnight tonight. Before anyone asks, yes, I feel a lot better. Thank you very much indeed. Last day of the antibiotics today. Still have the cough a little bit, but everything else seems to have vanished, thank God. Be careful, by the way. It's a dose of it going around, as they say. And it's because the kids are back in school. They're like walking Petri dishes. That's what they're like. They just pick up everything and then they bring it home and they just carry it. My mother used to say when I was a kid, I was a carrier. A little bit later on, by the way, we'll be talking about kids and whether homework is just too much, because there's evidence out there that just a small dose of homework is actually quite good for them, but too much is bad for them. But is it time we kind of abolished homework? They've been talking about that for years, by the way, getting rid of homework. Do you think it's beneficial at all to children? After all, once they get to those very, you know, kind of intense years of junior and leaving cert, they have to do a lot of studying anyway if they're a good student. If they're not a good student, they won't bother their arse. But if they're a good student, they do a lot of studying anyway. 2 or 3 hours a night, maybe coming up to exams. I used to do that, the cramming, you know, the cramming. I wasn't one of those that did it all year round. I waited until about 3 weeks before the exams, then I crammed like mad because I found it better. I could remember stuff easier. Anyway, but the first thing we want to get to, oh yeah, we are going to be talking about means testing, by the way, in relation to the energy credits, whether that was the right thing to do by the government. Personally, I don't think so. But the government are going to be means testing the energy credits. But I want to get to minimum wage first. And it's always an interesting subject, the minimum wage, whether you increase it. And by the way, I don't think anybody should be working for $12.70 or indeed the new $13.50 an hour, because I think it's dreadful wages for anybody going out there and working a hard, you know, 40 hours work. But in saying that, I have to take into consideration employers who are looking for cheaper labour because they couldn't operate their business any other way, particularly if it's retail or hospitality, whatever it is. So now another increase in the minimum wage is being discussed by the Cabinet. The minimum wage increased to $12.70 in January of this year, and it's now set to go to $13.50 in January 2025, another 80 cent increase. Roughly 165,000 people in Ireland earn minimum wage, quite a lot, isn't it? And this is made up mostly of young workers, teenagers and part-time jobs. Most of it, by the way, would be in hospitality, retail. Everything is so expensive at the moment and everyone is feeling it. It's nearly impossible to buy a house or rent while earning a minimum wage. And by the way, even at $13.50, you're never going to buy a house. You know, if you're working full-time in minimum wage. Well, what about the businesses who have to pay their employees more? They also have to deal with the increasing costs. And the coalition has been looking at ways to decrease the costs for businesses since unprecedented records of inflation. And the Minister of Expenditure, Pascal Donoghue, has said that he is aware of the ongoing and the growing challenges that many small businesses are facing at the moment in keeping jobs and staying viable and staying open. $13.50 is a really decent hourly rate for a young person or a part-time worker to be earning. But it brings up the question of what they do moving forward. Would this make them less motivated to move on? In other words, if you're getting a decent wage and you're young and you're getting $13.50 an hour, I suppose it's not too bad. You kind of wouldn't be maybe motivated to move on to something better. I'd like to think most people would be. I mean, let's be clear, minimum wage is not something you aspire to, is it? I mean, but there are people who've been on minimum wage all their life. And I know that could be really, really difficult. I can't imagine what that would be like, you know, because I haven't been on it. When I was younger, I was. Obviously, I worked in retail like everybody else. So, you know, we all started there at some point. But most of us, according to statistics, moved on from that. But should we be increasing it? See, there are pros and cons to it. Lots of pros and cons. So I'll let you work that one out over the next hour or so. Let me know what you think. Is it a good idea to keep increasing the minimum wage? Let me know what you think. The number is, as usual, 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Let me go to Amanda. Amanda, hi. How are you?
I am fine. How are you, Nine?
Good. Amanda, should we keep increasing the minimum wage? This is the second increase this year, so to speak.
Yeah, I think reasonably, yeah, because now if you look at the cost of living, mm-hmm. Okay, so we look at the cost of living and look at the minimum wage, I mean, you cannot take anything home with that.
No,
like,
I know.
If you go, like, I have 4 kids, so I have a big family.
Yeah.
You know, like, my food trolley last year, I would say, you know, used to cost me 150, but now your food trolley, I'm looking at 300 here.
Yeah.
So, increasing the minimum wage, it just has to do with the cost of living. You have to, like, assess the cost of living, you know, and look at what is your take home. You know, I mean, everything's expensive, electricity. But after you pay your rent, electricity, how much do you have left?
But, I mean, I'm looking here, okay? At 540, if you were on the minimum wage, you couldn't even afford to rent a house in Dublin, even if you spent every penny of your salary.
No, yeah.
So, but here's the thing. Minimum wage was never really meant to be... You weren't meant to be able to live on minimum wage. Nobody could live in this country on minimum wage. Well, you certainly wouldn't live very well on it. That's for sure.
I mean, that is why you have, like, you know, people doing other stuff to make money, or, like, you know, not really feeding well.
Mm.
You know, like, there's poverty. Actually, mine, there's poverty, you know. Like, I don't know how to explain it. There's actually poverty. When you know your neighbor, people are going through a lot.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So imagine in a family that they're not actually working, you know, and they are off, I mean, social welfare of any kind. So there's actually poverty. And there's kids in those homes, you know, in those families. So I think the minimum wages, just like this, should be...
But here's the thing. Let's say a big shop, right, like Dunn's or Tesco's or whatever. I don't know what they pay, right? Well, whatever. Let's say just a random big retail shop and they pay a lot of people minimum wage, right? And you put up the minimum wage. That's an extra expense for that shop. So then one person may lose their job because they can't afford to hire as many people because they only have a certain budget for staff. Or apart from that, that extra 70 cent or, sorry, 80 cent per person per hour that they're paying, which is, sorry, let me just say, what's 80 multiplied by 40? Hang on. Can I just see here? 80 multiplied by 40 equals 320 quid a month. Right, that extra 320 quid a month has to come from somewhere. So what they'll do is they'll put it onto the cost of your tins of peas and your tea and your sugar and your milk and everything else that you buy.
Okay.
So it pushes the cost of living up even further. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference, but, you know, like, it's to go back to the system. It doesn't actually make any difference, but, you know, somehow it's a mind thing, you know. You just, when you think about, okay, at least you're getting more money, you know, and that could go towards, you know, some things. But it will still go to, you know, you still end up not having the money that you think you have.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, but I just think somehow, I mean, this is welcome, you know, because things are hard, like.
Yeah, I know people, you know, I know people on social welfare and making more money than people who are on minimum wage. Because, you know, at least with minimum wage, you don't get the benefits. When you're on social welfare, you get all the other benefits that go along with it. Now, you might get some benefits on a low income, but you won't get all of the benefits. And sometimes people on social welfare fare off better.
I don't really think that. I think, no.
Yeah.
You cannot put money on that, like going out to work.
Somebody texts in and says, Why do you want, or why are you having 4 kids if you can't afford it?
Oh, no, I never said I cannot afford.
Amanda's not saying she's the one who can't afford it. She's talking about other people.
I'm not on minimum wages myself. Oh, no. I'm not saying I can't afford it. I'm just saying that there are people out there that cannot actually afford, you know, to care of their kids.
Imagine what it was like if you were a minimum wage of 4 kids. That wouldn't be good. No.
Oh, that's not. There are people that are on minimum wage and they have 5 kids, 6 kids.
Oh, God.
You know, but look.
I was only reading about this today, by the way, the population of the world since 1963. Coincidentally, the article was since 1963, which is the year I was born, has declined from 5.6 to 2.3 children per family, right? Now, Ireland and Europe is particularly low. Ireland is at 1.4, 1.5. They expect Ireland by 2030 to go to 1.3. Now, our population replacement level is 2.3, which means we won't be able to replace our own population. So we will be relying on immigration if we want to keep a population. If it wasn't for the movement of people from Asia and Africa into Europe, Europe's population would be declining rapidly at the moment, but it's not obviously because there's a movement of people going on currently at the moment in Europe and, you know, and across the world. So it just goes to show you the population is declining. I don't know why I mentioned that.
It's declining, man.
Yeah, we're not having kids anymore, Amanda. Nobody wants kids.
Nobody. Oh, my. Look, like, I keep saying that I just stand, but like when I had my kids, okay, my first girl's 21. I have a 17 years old boy in uni, in UCD, you know, and then I have a 12 years old. Then the baby is the COVID, like, you know, 4 years old. So I literally have like two, you know, small ones that I kind of, you know, have to like, you know, feed all the time because the other two are in.
Yeah, you're populating the world here, Amanda, with your four kids. But that, Amanda, Ireland used to be like that. People in Ireland used to have, when I was a kid, most families were like 4 to 8 kids. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I remember there was a family up the road from us and they lived in a 3-bedroom house and they had 17 children. 17. And they had a dog and a cat.
Somebody actually told me a story yesterday about a family of 10 with then the mom, the dad, that live in two bedrooms.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I used to wonder about the 17 kids, right, in Edenmore where I lived, right? Where would they all eat their dinner? Like, would there be 3 sittings for dinner or something like that? And you'd probably the mother used to spend her whole day, I'd say, making meals when she wasn't busy being pregnant. You know what I mean?
Okay, but now let me just call your attention to something there. Just look at it. Okay, those days, those kids survived, you know, and they're fed with whatever they have. But these days, it's not the same thing. You will have like 4-bedroom, and the kids will see like, oh, we want more. They kind of they always want more, and you know, I think the parents just kind of keep giving more.
Yeah, we're mollycoddling them. That's why we're mollycoddling them, Amanda. Yeah. Stay there, Amanda. Okay, stay there. Let me go to Malachi. Malachi, hi, how are you? How are you doing, Malachi? You're out on a noisy road, but however. Malachi, getting back to minimum wage, is it a good idea to increase it or keep increasing it? Because the more you increase it, the more it pushes up the cost of living.
Listen to me now 1 second, I'm going to start it like this, yeah? As you're on about minimum wage and all of this now, there's people out there in work, working nights right now, working for minimum wage or less. I'd say 90% of the people I listen to are nighttime workers by it, and you're not doing a lot of justice here, no, yeah?
Oh, okay.
It comes back to, and when you say a while ago, it's another thing that boils my blood, the businesses can't afford it, the businesses can't afford it.
Some businesses can.
They can afford it. Unless it's a very, very, very small corner shop, which there's none of them left, they can, of course, afford it.
But I've had Paul Trevaux on from Trevaux's Restaurant in Killarney numerous times, giving out about the minimum wage, saying that, it pushes his costs up.
First off, now, when it comes to restaurants, it's not minimum wage why people don't want to work there. It's the attitude and the way they're treated in there, and that comes from first-hand experience, right?
Okay, the one you worked in, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, and I know, like, plenty of people, so we all worked in hospitality when we grew up.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Would you like to be still working there now under some knob or rubbish here?
No.
For $12 an hour. No, you wouldn't.
No.
But anyway, Niall, it comes back to this, right? And I need to say this now to everyone listening, if there's any people out there listening. If you don't have a trade, right, and if you don't have a skill, you need to go and get one. Because as long as you don't ever have an education, or if you don't ever have a trade, or if you don't have a skill, you don't need a trade, but it'd be great if you could learn one. As long as you have a skill. If you have a skill, you will always be wanting money. If you don't have no skill or whatever, and you're just working, you're just bouncing from job to job, like, they have no mastery anyway, but you'll never, ever have nothing, and you never will earn a good wage.
Unless you're lucky, 1350, yeah.
$13.50 is buttons. I'm on a good wage, and the wage I'm on by isn't enough, and I'm on a good wage. And this is another thing, I want to say this now to all your listeners out there, and all the moms and dads and stuff, right? I never went to college or anything like that, and I'd be on more money than an engineer, like, you know? So, like, put it that way. Don't be forcing your kids, you know, like, you have to, that's a lot of bollocks.
Yeah. Go get a trade. Get a skill. Yeah.
I get more money than an engineer every week, right? Take that from me.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm with you, by the way. Don't be forcing your kids to go to college to do a course they don't want to do. Yeah. Get them. They can take an apprenticeship up, earn, get a skill. Yeah, make more money.
You're thinking about it wrong. Never mind college. Never mind this. Never mind that. If you have to do something in life, it might take you 3 months or 6 months. You might just get some sort of a cert or whatever. But as long as that cert, as long as you can walk onto a site or walk into a business with that fucking sort, and that sort will get you a certain rate straight away. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whereas you can go to college to study to be an engineer. When you get out of serving your time as an engineer, you're only beginning serving your time as an engineer when you finish college, like. Fellas don't understand that. be 25, 26 going into a site, yeah, but, man, an engineer on fucking buttons.
But most people, Malachy, as I said to Amanda, most people who are on minimum wage, the 165,000 people in this country on minimum wage, they're usually, you know, first job, teenagers, part-time jobs.
Yeah, listen, any person that's willing to work for fucking 13, 50 an hour, they should be given a better wage than that, because they're doing the shittiest job, the hardest job, nighttime.
But they all start, we all start somewhere. All mean, like, we all, yeah, but we all started there.
But there's not, like, no, listen, even if you've a great, like, even if you've a good trade now, right, even if you've a good something by you, like yourself, there's plenty of radio DJs out there. You'll be replaced in the morning. You have to have a certain mindset, you have to have a skill.
Do you want to do it, Malachy? Do you want to come in and do it? You could, you come in and do it. You and Amanda could come in and do it. Like
a, when you were out for the election, your post was out there for nobody came in to take the job. Like there was advertisements for like people to come and get your job. So
I saw that.
I don't
think
anybody can do your job.
I seen the advertisement they put up for my job. Yeah.
Can I come back to the other side again as well? Right?
Yeah.
You're on about like young people and all of this, and why aren't they taking up trades, and why this and why that? The reason why they're not taking it up is me, yeah. It's because of the conditions and the money and how long it takes, you know, to get qualified. You'll be qualified as a vet no quicker than you'll be qualified as a plumber the way it's going. And that's why fellas are dropping out then and like, they can't stick at it. You start off at €7 an hour. Like any fella, unless he's living inside his mother's box room, paying rent free, getting everything handed to him, can't afford to work for €7 an hour. Like.
Yeah, but he could do a few nixers as well while he's there, can't he?
Most kids now have finished school when they're 18. So you get jack unless you work. You can't, like, €7, fellas won't do it.
If you're training to be a plumber, or you're training to be a brickie, or you're training to be with plaster, or whatever it is, right, and you're getting your 70 quid, or whatever it is you're saying to me a week, or whatever it is you get for the training, surely on the side of the weekend, you can do a few nixers for
that's
a few quid.
Thing. Niall, listen, that's all well and good, right? You say if you're a mechanic, unless you have all your tools, and unless you have somewhere to do it with a roof over your head, you're not going to do that 7 nights of the week to make a few extra bucks. You might do it once.
Ah, what's wrong with people nowadays? What's wrong? Well, years ago, I knew mechanics, and they come out to your front garden and do your car for you.
You know, right? Oh, no, with the kind of cars that we have these days, I don't think that will work.
No, man, maybe probably wouldn't work.
Oh, that would not work. Have you seen my car? Like, if you open the bonnet, you don't even see anything. I'm like,
where does it all go? Why, is there no engine there? Amanda, what sort of car have you got? Is there no engine in it?
There's engine, but it's all covered, like.
Oh, okay.
Not those things. Like if your car, like if the battery of your car is top, like you just get a jump starter and just like put the red, the black. You know, those things. But now I cannot even see the battery of my car. Like
that's because they don't have. Well, the battery a lot of the times now is in the boot, right? It's in the back.
Oh,
so what they have is they just have little two yokes in the front of the car that'll have a plus and a minus on them. Two little connections. Okay. So when they have little caps on them, a little black and a red cap on them. It's there.
So if my car broke down in the middle of the road, you see, I cannot get someone to come and jump start it. Like
you can, if you lift up the bonnet, it'll be there. There's two little tab things. One will be red and one will be black. I have one in my car, and you can't. Like the battery, I think, is in the back somewhere. I don't know where the battery is, but the two little tabs are in the front. Yeah.
I will, you can still do it.
Yeah, Amanda, you need to do this tomorrow. This is a priority, Amanda, because now you're saying this to me, your car is probably going to break down. So, you know, you need to find out tomorrow where they are just in case.
Oh, I have to do that.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
See, Malachy, this is what we're dealing with. Back to the minimum wage. You can't just keep putting it up, Malachy. There's a limit to what small businesses can take.
Niall, there's a limit to what the ordinary person can take into his pocket.
No, I know that too. I know, I'm aware of that.
What do you mean? Well, we all know that, but you know how we're supposed to survive and how we're supposed to...
But it's a difficult balance. It's a balancing act.
I'll explain to you now my cost for the week driving to work is about €70 in diesel. That's before you buy yourself lunch. I don't buy much lunch, but if you did buy lunch or whatever, €70 in diesel. So a fella that's not on my wages, how was he meant to go up and down to work there now to get to that job if he was on minimum wage, like if he's saying €70, and if his rent was fucking €1,000 a month, and then you won't get rent now for €1,000 a month, like you're all living in la la land. This is unacceptable. We need, like, people can't, like, I understand now, but it's like if people are working
and doing hard jobs and things like that, they need to be earning a livable wage. And the people that are earning, the people that are skilled and the people that are tradesmen and doing the hard work, they need to be paid better. And this is another thing now that's happening in this country. There's a lot of agencies, and agencies are getting workers in, and it's the agencies making money. Does it? You know what I mean? You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, you see it in the workforce, right? It's quantity over quality, right? They're getting people in because they're paid by the body. They're not paid by...
Oh, yeah, it's just numbers. No, I know that. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like,
But unskilled work has always been like that, Maliki. Now, if you are on minimum wage, you're on low income, so you do get some benefits from the state as well. Like, if you're on minimum wage, most likely you can apply for a HAP scheme to help with your rent. You know, and you can also get some sort of...
No, you won't get rent for HAP.
You will if you're on minimum wage.
For HAP. Go on to the current website there, but I don't think there's one property, perhaps. That's La La Land again.
That's a problem for everybody at the moment, not just for the people on low income, by the way.
It's the whole of Ireland.
Yeah, I know, that's just an accommodation issue at the moment.
But, like, come back to it. I can't afford a mortgage in a house. I'm on a very good wage, right?
Yeah, but can we establish that this problem that we're having currently at the moment between not being able to rent because we can't afford it, not being able to get a mortgage because you won't get a house in Dublin for less than 450,000 that's anyway worth a decent, they're temporary problems. They're not. That's not going to last. There's going to be a crash in the next couple of years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, where we are going to go over the crash.
Now, when is that? When is the next couple of years? Can you just give me a finger? Where would that be?
When would the crash be? I wish I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could predict it. I'm going to guess there'll be a property crash within the next 4 years. More than likely. Well, the last property crash was 2010. They say it happens in and around every decade.
Crash. No, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have the big developers and the big bankers buy up all the property. Fellas like me, if I can get into Australia or if I can get into Canada, I'm gone and my kids and my old doll are coming with me and the dog and everything, I'll get them shipped over.
The dog.
That's what's going to happen. And what's going to happen then, right? You're on about bringing people in from abroad. That's brilliant. I have a lot of friends from abroad and they're great tradesmen, but I know a lot of fellas from abroad and they're absolutely useless.
Yeah, so I know.
Like, what's the point of bringing a fella onto a job if you can't do the job either?
But you remember during the Celtic Tiger, do you remember all the Polish that came into Ireland? They were great workers.
Yeah.
Listen to me, yeah. That's understand it.
I get it. Some nationalities are just lazy, but others are not.
Irish are worse.
Huh?
Huh?
I mean, Irish workers, I'm going to be honest with you, they're either one or the other. They're either really hard grafters or they're lazy shits.
Do you know what annoys me, right?
Mm.
I'll be honest with you. I know hard workers now, right? And I'm in a hard trade myself, but there's harder trades out there. But you ever go into a shop, right, and you'd ask the woman for a packet of chewing gums or something, and you'd swear... You swear they had to climb up a ladder and go up into the air to get a packet of chewing gum. Like, they think they have a hard job. That's not hard work, lads. You know, like, there's people out there that have to climb towers, put their lives at risk every day of the week.
Well, go down sewers. Like, yeah,
leave,
I know.
You don't know how easy you have it. You're all pin pushers now, like.
Yeah.
Pin pushers.
Hang on, I have to go to Joe quickly before the break here, otherwise I'd be killed. Joe, hi.
Good evening, Niall. And, again, I want to thank you very much for stopping that hate speech bill being passed.
Yeah, don't be counting your chickens before they're hatched.
I think it's a great victory. And obviously, a belated happy birthday as well to you, Niall.
Thanks very much indeed. Yes, for those who don't know, of course, particularly on the podcast, we spoke a lot about the hate speech laws and we objected to these Orwellian laws. Now the government have said they've dropped it. But I think, Joe, they're only doing that before the election. I think they'll bring it back once they get re-elected again. So don't worry about it.
Well, we'll have yourself and Ben Scanlon and others to fight it anyway. And
yeah, there should be no law against what you say. I mean, you should, obviously, if you say something hateful and spiteful or horrible or racist or whatever it is, you have yourself to talk to about that and yourself to reflect on about what you say. But I don't believe people should go to jail for things like that unless you act on it or encourage others to act on it.
But anyway, getting back to what you're saying about the minimum wage. Yeah, look, I do agree with what you say there, Niall. The problem, see, is, like, at the moment, I think it's, what is it now, 13 point something, is it?
Well, at the moment it's 12.70, they're going to put it up to 13.50.
Right, and that's probably the highest it's ever been, I'd say, in this country.
Well, it only goes up, so yeah.
yeah, yeah. Look, I have reservations about that. You see, the problem is, you could keep putting it up, but the problem is, it could keep going back down again. Because as you said there, Niall, and you said it fairly professionally, there could be a possibility that there could be another crash within the next couple of years. Because people, you know, in this country, and not just in this country, but around the world, do get carried away when things are good, like, you know?
Mm.
And, you know, the problem is, you could have a good job now at the moment, but that's not going to be guaranteed for the rest of your life. Because, not saying you know, but I'm just saying somebody who's working on a building site or working in a shop, because things do change very quickly, and you have seen it over the last 20 years, what has happened in this country. So I would have reservations about it. If it was kept to a limit, I would say yes, but I don't think, I think as you said, if you keep putting it up, the more it goes, it is going to cause inflation, and I think that would be a very, very dangerous situation to be in, really.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, it will, because what will happen is those shops or those hotels or those restaurants or those bars that pay the 13 or the minimum wage, they now have to pay an extra 80 cents. Sorry, I said it was 320 earlier on, which is about 32 quid a month extra per staff member. You know, that money has to come from somewhere. So it'll go on your pint of beer. It'll go on your box of tea or your bag of sugar or your whatever it is. It has to go. So it has to come from somewhere, because they're not going to pay it.
And it's already happening as it is anyway, because the price of everything is going up again. You can see it even when Tesco's there now. For anything, if you're getting a minimum amount of messages, you're paying at least 30, 40 euro.
Yeah, that's Amanda said. You know? Yeah, Amanda used to get her shopping for 90, was it 90 quid, she said?
90 no, quid,
150
yeah.
For a full trolley.
Much, 150 for a full trolley.
Yes, nine. I have 20 kids, so, but now I spend 300 euro more.
Yes, it's kind of double the money. Yes, yeah, it's only doubled.
Oh, man.
300 quid, that's some trolley, isn't it? What have you got in that trolley for 300 quid?
Mine, if you have to get dinners and stuff like that.
What, pizzas, frozen pizzas?
Yeah. No. Don't,
bottles
don't
of Coke, Pringles.
I
don't do frozen food. I cook. I cook, so I don't do frozen food.
Are you a good cook? Are you a good cook?
Yeah. I'm a good cook.
Do you make an Irish stew?
Irish stew, fried rice, jar of fries.
Yeah.
You know, chicken, lamb steak. Anything.
Oh, poor lambs. I don't eat lamb. Poor little lambs.
Did
you see? Years ago, my mother used to give me on a Sunday sheep's hearts. What the hell was that about? Do you remember that? Joe, do you remember your ma used to give you sheep hearts on a Sunday?
Oh, God, yeah. I used to love it. And she gave... And you know something, you had no other choice. If you didn't eat it, you were going out the door, and that was it, like, you know?
Yeah, you'd be forced to
eat it. Yeah, because I remember a lady one time, she was feeding her husband, and the husband didn't want it either. Do you know what happened?
What?
He gave it to the two cats. They had it instead.
Yeah, why
so
wouldn't
the
they?
The husband had to do without it.
Yeah, yeah. Where's your dinner? In the bin. Yeah. That's it. Amanda, my mother used to make sheep's hearts on a Sunday. I don't eat lamb. I haven't eaten lamb in years. I don't like the taste of it. Poor lambs.
Sheep's heart. I don't know that. I don't think I would eat that now.
No. Well, or but cow's hearts as well.
Is like you are forced to eat it. Yeah, you have to eat it because that is just what you have. But now there's options, you see.
Yeah.
And that is the problem. There's options. If you give that to the kids, go, Mommy, I don't want this. You go, kid, you want to have something else.
See,
go,
but why, Amanda? Why? See, when I was a kid, right, there was three of us in the house, three kids, right? Me, my brother and sister. And my mom would make the same dinner. It was always at 5 o'clock every day. She'd make the dinner and we all got the same dinner. And if you didn't eat it, you got boxed in the head. That was it. You ate your dinner, no matter what. You didn't have a choice. There was no menu given to you beforehand. You know, what would you like? Nowadays, kids all choose what they want. What's that all about?
In my house now, we sit down every week. We make the menu for the week. You know, so we have a menu for the week.
A menu?
You know? So... for the week, yeah.
You'd make this. Joe, she's a menu in her house. It's like a bleeding restaurant.
she must be Delia Smith, is she?
I don't know.
It didn't come out right. What I'm trying to say is like, you see, when you have the menu, it kind of gives you idea what you shop for. You know what I mean?
I know, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, like and each day is down on the menu. What's for dinner on that day, like?
Exactly, yes.
Well, wonderful. Imagine living there. That'll be a lovely house to live in. Listen, lovely talking to you all. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Maliki. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping after the break. I'm going to continue this conversation if we can get back to it again. The minimum wage, they're set to increase it from $12.70 to $13.50. That's an 80 cent increase. Look, it's a good idea because, look, to be honest with you, as what's his name, Maliki said, he rightly said, by the way, $13.50 is still crap. I'd hate to be working for $13.50 an hour. 165,000 people do it every week, every single week. Work for that kind of money. But it is only a starting job, isn't it? It's a part-time job. It's usually teenagers. But, you know, some people do work on minimum wage for the whole of their life because they're unskilled workers and they don't seem to want to better themselves. I have no idea why. But anyway, should it be more money? The problem is if you increase the money, it increases the cost of living. Because that money has to come from somewhere. So I want to know what you think. Is it a good idea to increase the minimum wage or to keep increasing it so much? Let me know what you think, because I don't want to race to the bottom, obviously. The number is 0871. All right, let me go to Des. Des, hi, how are you?
Hey, Noel, how's it going?
Good. Okay, you don't believe we should touch the minimum wage?
No, I don't. I don't believe we should. I think we should be looking more at... It can't be right to be on social welfare and being better off than being on the minimum wage. Like, I just don't know where we're going with that, because there's no incentive to be getting people off the dole and getting them out to work and keep raising minimum wage. Like, just say the minimum wage goes up to $13.50, and then you've got retailers saying, well, we need to get staff and we need to make it more attractive. It's going to be very hard for them to increase over the minimum wage to start someone on, or, you know, like, if you start on the minimum wage and leave it at a certain amount, it's up to the employer then every year to work out a raise in that job. But you're not going to be in that job for that long if you're going forward on something else. But I don't think it's right that you can be better off on the social welfare than trying to get out to work every day. And that's just telling people to stay at home, you know?
Yeah, well, there are people out there who play the social welfare system. We're well aware of that, and who are better off, you know, than people who are on minimum wage, which is very difficult to justify. And mind you, that's the reason why the likes of People Before Profit and what have you would suggest putting up the minimum wage, to make working more attractive, I suppose.
Yeah, you have to look at the bigger picture, I think, else going forward, and I think you'd put an awful lot of companies under pressure if you keep raising this minimum wage. I think, you know, you could easily leave that at a certain bar and say, well, we're not going to touch that, you know, because, as you say, it's going to raise the cost of living. And you know, if you look at the minimum wage, it's starting out, if you're on a 16 or 17-year-old, like, you're only going to be on that if your goal is to do that while you're in college or... You're waiting to get onto something else. Like, that's only a kind of a...
Yeah, minimum wage jobs are always meant to be those kind of stepping stone jobs to get you into the workforce. Look, we've all worked, you know, our first job probably was minimum wage, most of us. I know mine was, and was always minimum wage. I'm trying to remember my first job, how much I got. I think it was 50 quid a week was my first job.
Well, Noel, I think myself now, looking at the way things are now, I'd be around the same age as yourself, and they don't seem to be as motivated as us. As if I look back 30 years and I'm looking at someone now in their 20s, they don't seem to be as motivated as...
Now, we would have shoveled shit to get paid, you know what I mean?
Yeah, anything went. And now I don't. I just think the way things have gone, it's just so... Not to say it's not so handy to stay at home, but like even the apprentices, like how far do you have to go to... Like they're getting a qualification and the bigger picture is 3 or 4 years down the road. They might be staying at home with their mothers, so they're not spending a lot of money on outgoings. So, like, I mean, you know, apprenticeship in 3 to 4 years' time, you're going to be making the quality money then, you know?
Yeah, I heard somebody giving out the other day saying, oh, well, an apprenticeship, you couldn't afford to own your own home in Dublin. You could never afford to own your own home in Dublin if you're on an apprenticeship. Never.
No, but if you're a fully qualified electrician, you'll absolutely.
Yeah, well, I don't know about nowadays, but I understand the point you're making. Yeah,
yeah, but the stepping point is the minimum wage. Like, it's just it would make it. I'd be very concerned that it would make it harder for retailers. And then what'll happen is the retailers will look at it, they won't be able to afford to pay it. So they might let some staff go, maybe, where they would have taken extra staff on, you know?
Yeah, so the corner shop that has 7 staff might only have 6 now. Yeah.
Yeah, and they won't take on anyone else, and then they'll get more people, you know, they'll just say, well, we can't afford it, like, and...
Okay, well, let me just put that to Councillor Gavin Pepper as well, who's joined us here. Gavin, hi, how are you?
How's things, Niall? How's the discussion to me?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, look, you're looking at, you know, 1/12 on top of the wage, roughly, right? So if you have 13 staff or 12 staff, that's one less staff you might want to hire now if the minimum wage goes up if you're a small business.
Well, Niall, I disagree with you to an extent, right? Like, businesses are closing across the country the last few years.
Yeah.
And it's not because of the wages. It's not because of the
wages. According to Paul Trevoe, it is.
Well, I don't think it's just because of the wages. You know, that's not... Like, the minimum wage is low in this country as it is, right? And it has to go upward in line with inflation.
Well, but it's not... Gavin, look across Europe. It's not that low. The minimum wage in Ireland is actually quite generous in comparison to other countries. Now, don't get me wrong. I know Ireland...
The cost of living in Ireland is higher than
I get
other
that. But that's a separate issue.
But it's the same issue, because if people can't afford to live in Ireland, then you have to increase the wages to match it.
Yeah, but the government should be doing something about the cost of living more so than the minimum wage. Because if we were tackling the cost of living, we wouldn't need to be putting up the minimum wage so much.
But they're not doing anything to deal with that.
Yeah,
so in the meantime,
but
an example is, Niall, another thing we don't fully agree with either is people under the age of 18 getting less than the minimum wage. Like, at the end of the day, if they're doing the same job, you should be getting the same wages. Now, the minimum wage is lower than the living wage as it is, Niall.
Yeah.
The problem with the minimum wage in Ireland, right, you have to talk about it to an extent. People on welfare that are struggling can sometimes be better off than if you're working. Now, if people on minimum wage were entitled to HAP payments while they're waiting for housing or social housing, right, and if they were entitled to a medical card, it'd make a difference.
But are they not?
No, you're not entitled to a medical card.
But are you entitled to half payment, aren't you, because you're on low income?
Some people are. Not everybody. It depends
on your circumstance, yeah. If you have kids.
If you're a single person with no kids, you're entitled to like 500 HAP or something a month. So you wouldn't rent a box for that. Like, let's be honest. No, while living in the real world, people can't get anywhere to rent. So this is, like, as you said, it's a government issue because they're not fixing the problem in relation to it. And yes, because of that, businesses are the ones that fall victim to it. But I mean, how many pubs and restaurants have we lost in the last few years? It's astonishing. But, and that's the cost. The cost of everything is going up. Like, you know, I know Paul well, but the cost of his material, the cost of buying food has gone up as well. So you can't blame it on the worker. It can't fall on the worker for being on the low pay. Like, the reality of it is, if the government fix the issues that are causing these problems, as you said, the cost of living issues.
Yeah, Paul said to me there last week or the week before, I'll happily pay my staff member 20 euro a week, 20 euro an hour. He said, but you come in, and he said, and you'll pay 40 quid for your chicken.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's the reality of it. Don't get me wrong. Printing money into it, I'm one that says this. You're printing money into oblivion. It's a government issue. You had it in America with quantitative easing. You're chasing it. It runs away. Inflation can run away with itself. And you're just chasing it. This isn't going to fix in 2 weeks when the budget comes and you give all these little goodies and giveaways and everybody thinks it's great. And then on the 4th of January, Sky rises its price, Virgin rises its price, the bins rise their price. People think they're going to get something, but in the end, you don't really get anything.
No, they come out with less, yeah.
Yeah, that's the fact of it. But at the very start, you think they're getting loads. And that's the sad part. People get caught up in that thinking in budgets that they're going to gain, but really they don't. You know, they tell you, low-pay staff will be €1,000 a year better off. No, they're not. They're no better off, because the next year people are still struggling to pay their bills because things have gone up. And this is the government's fault. The government are not tackling the issue. But when I say, I don't blame people on the minimum wage for that. Like, you can't blame people. Like, the minimum wage is low as it is, Niall.
But it was never meant to live on, Gavin.
A lot of restaurants don't pay minimum wage. A lot of restaurants are actually paying above it, and because they can't get staff in some places. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I know. I'm aware of that. And by the way, somebody mentioned some of the retail shops. A lot of the retail shops pay more than minimum wage, by the way. They do, you know. Particularly the likes of the German shops, Aldi and Lidl and all, they pay more than minimum
wage. Yeah, they're paying 40 and 50 euro. 50
yeah,
euro
and
an hour,
IKEA, yeah. I think IKEA pay the living wage as well, don't they?
Yes, they do, they do.
Okay,
but you're right, now, there's a news agent across the road, me here in the Barry, I'm up in Finglas. And so, like, little small shops, they can't get, like, Central will pay more than the minimum wage, but the small news agents, they're the ones that are struggling. They're the ones that deserve government help. But the government don't help them, you know, they just raise rates on them every
year.
Yeah,
but you're never intended to live on the minimum wage. Do you know what I mean? Nobody was ever intended to. The minimum wage, you know as well as I do, everybody at some point starts off on the minimum wage job.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
But, Niall, let's look at it this way. The minimum wage, what does that work out a year? 20-odd thousand, isn't it? Something like that, right?
I had my calculator there a minute ago.
The calculator, even the new one. Add in the new one, Niall, to 24. I mean, we'll do a good breakdown here. So add in what they're planning to put up to and do that over 39 hours, 12 months.
Okay, 40 multiplied by 52 equals 28,000.
28 grand, right? And I can tell you here now, someone on 35 grand, say a couple on 35 grand, you can't even get a house. You can't afford bills on that. 28 grand is nothing. Like, let's call it, you just said it, you're not meant to be on it forever. But at the end of the day, it's low pay as it is. But the fact is, the government aren't tackling the issues. So you take young nurses starting off and stuff, they're not on minimum wage. They come out of college, spending all their years in college, and we have a good education system for the healthcare. They go on to that pay. They can't afford to rent a place in Dublin. Like, this is the government's fault. You know what I mean? And they end up going abroad because we can. So other countries, I mean, there's Australian companies over here trying to bring the guards to work in Australia.
I know.
So, well, back to the minimum wage. It's not enough for a young person to live on. So I don't blame them for the cost of living crisis.
But a young person is not meant to be buying a house. When I say it's not meant to be on a house, they generally live with their mother or father up to the age of 22 or 23, right? A young person, you know, doesn't generally have their own car. Well, in my day, they didn't. You know, they got buses everywhere, trains everywhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So young people, like 540 quid or whatever it is, that's a kind of okay wage for a young person. You're not meant to stay on it. You're meant to better yourself, get skilled, or whatever it is, and get a better job. There are very few people stay on minimum wage for their whole life.
I know, definitely, yeah, right. But there is some people that have been on it for years and years now. Because some people might have left school younger and, you know, they might not have the higher education to get that. But that doesn't mean that their pay should be so low that it's not, like, within reason. It has to be in line with, like, to some standard of cost of living. Because, otherwise you're paying poverty wages and we don't want that in the country.
Okay, well, hang on. Des, what do you think about what Gavin said? If you don't raise it, it's just a race to the bottom.
Yeah, I don't think companies and restaurants are closing because of staff wages. I think that's a bigger, broader picture with regards to maybe they might be renting, their rents might be high on Grafton Street.
Their energy bills have gone up as well, yeah.
Their energy bills are getting up as well. And the people that suffer are the staff. They're the ones that suffer, you know, at the end of the day, when they lose their job. But how far do you go with raising the minimum wage? Like, how far are you going to say every year now, for an election, we're going to raise the minimum wage, and then we're going to be a stage where, as you say, we're going to have a crash.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be able to sustain it.
So, the crash is coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely a minimum wage is set at a level, and then you know a guy goes in and starts on the minimum wage in retail. He might like. He says, "Well, I'll go on to management, or I'll do this, or I'll do that in that company." Not necessarily saying he's going to stay on the minimum wage there. But it's going to be very hard for companies to employ people at the start if it's going to go so high. They're not going to be able to afford it. Like, I think there's going to be less availability in companies if they keep raising this minimum wage. I think that's a dangerous road to go down, you know?
I mean, somebody there, Gavin, sent in a text saying with the higher you put up the minimum wage, it makes people less motivated to move on. In other words, they're not motivated to move to a better job if you keep increasing the minimum wage. I don't know if you believe that would make a generation of people lazier. I don't think so.
No, I don't. No, that's not true at all. But in general, right, so this happens in the US as well. No, you'll be aware of this now. When it comes to the minimum wage, right, and it's being risen every year, companies, as Des said, it's the worker that suffers. So they end up trying to go down the robotic route. You know, as you can see, like, things are changing when companies are now using different services in order. Like, you know, you go into deals. There's only a couple of staff now. Like, you're paying at the machines.
Yeah.
You're paying at the machines. All the cook costs. You know, we had Extravision for renting movies. Now we've Netflix. You know, it's a it is a race to the bottom. Like, at the end of the day, we want people working, we want people in jobs, and that's what makes the economy work. So, in general, it's the government's fault. Like, they're not dealing with the cost of living issues. There should be enough houses for people in this country. Healthcare should be universal, and everybody should be covered, and everyone should have education. Like, the basic necessities. So they have enough to get that basic and get by and have a decent quality of life. Then wage increases aren't asked for as much every year. But of course, Niall, as you know, if you're only on €12 an hour, right, and everything goes up on you, the price of this goes up, and the price the following year, of course you're going to be looking for a rise of your boss to match that. But you can't say, better yourself. Because that can't be the answer, better yourself to get more. That's unfair because some people on minimum wage are hard workers. It's not like they're getting paid to do nothing.
No, I'm not suggesting they are. They are hard workers. You're right.
But the company, it's not. They're not the reason, and they're not at fault for this. This is across the board. Inflation has been across the world, and it's been since COVID. You know, the fellow friend that I know now, but he runs a business. He died there. Fiona was there the weekend. He runs a business across the road, and he was telling me the materials. Like, I'm a plasterer by trade, Niall. So a slab board used to be, just the fruit, for an insulation board, for the insulated wall board, used to be about €35. That's €65 to €70 now.
Just for plasterboard? A sheet of plasterboard?
Oh, well, for the insulation sheet board, you know, like, oh, yeah, I'm talking about the one that, yeah. So, yeah. But like, they've doubled in price. Same with the plywood. That's not the minimum wage worker. And let's be honest, they're not really paying that amount. You know, like, they're passing on and they're making nice profit out of it as well. They're not, like,
okay.
You know,
they're okay, not... Okay, well, hang on. Let me just go to John as well quickly before I go into the news. John, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Niall. How are you keeping?
Good.
Me? Yeah.
Good, John. Should we increase the minimum wage again?
No. It's hard. The minimum wage, you can keep increasing it, like, but we're only going to... It's not getting us anywhere. We have... No, you can't... How can I put this? An apprentice electrician now, first year, is $9.16 an hour.
I'm not talking about apprenticeships. Everybody knows apprenticeships are badly paid, but then the goal is that you get your qualification and you make loads of money. So, no, we're just talking about minimum wage. Stick to minimum wage.
I'm sticking to it now, okay, Niall?
Yeah.
You'll have one shop in Galway or in Dublin, and the boss is making good money. But then there's another shop down the road who has his staff, and he's not making the money.
Right.
Every business is different. But if you keep increasing the minimum wage, let's go back and say you have the fuel, you have the insurance. I worked in hotels for 10 or 12 years. I don't know how hotels sometimes survive because the cost, like I remember buying 75,000 litres of oil for a hotel in Galway.
Mm.
It was €75,000. When you take the prices, the cost of, it's not just the wages, it's the other stuff that's cost.
I'm not going to be honest, with the greatest respect, I'm not going to shed a tear over hotels tonight, to be honest with you. Hotels in Ireland at the moment are making plenty of money.
Don't worry.
Yeah. I won't be shedding any tears over them.
I was on shit.
Okay, so let's forget about the hotels. I know what you're trying to say there. There's a massive cost, you know, in hospitality. But, you know, is it all right to pay your staff low money? I always say to people, if you're a worker for somebody and they're whining about the minimum wage to you, the boss is whining about the minimum wage, but they arrive into work in the top of the range Mercedes every day, you've got a problem.
Well said.
Yeah. Is that fair?
No, it depends on your business. It's a staff. Everybody, we all work for companies, and we know how if we work for a small company, we kind of know how they're doing. You know.
Yeah. So if your boss is doing well, should you be doing well?
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm.
Well, saying. Isn't that the point I was trying to make to you? In other words, don't be paying shitty minimum wage if you're actually doing well. The other thing, of course, is, Gavin, just before we go into the news, and we're probably going to hear it in the news there too, the polls have suggested, you'd be very interested, the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, of course, are polling high, 5% and 4% respectively up. How can a government and government parties be increasing in the polls when we've seen what we've seen over the last 5 years, in particular, for example, the increased cost in the Children's Hospital. If that was in the private sector, the CEO of the company would have been fired long ago. But Stephen Donnelly is still in a job. We have an insane, chaotic immigration system overseen by the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, and also Rodrigo Gorman. We have other chaos going on with a bicycle shed costing $335,000 and Micheál Martin shrugging his shoulders and kind of, you don't deserve an answer on that, essentially. So how can you tell me, Gavin, can you get your head around how a government can be so popular and increasing popularity coming up to an election when they seem to be doing everything wrong? Is it Simon Harris? Is he doing a great job or something? Sorry, Gavin. Oh, sorry, Gavin.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, it's election Ireland. They're playing the game. They give a load of goodies in the election and in the budget.
Ah, that's even getting 5%.
No, hang on. No, I'm not finished. I'm not finished. I'm saying Sinn Féin and Social Democrats and People Before Profit are literally telling everybody that there's loads of room in the country, bring more people in when we've a disaster of an immigration issue. So their vote was always the working class vote. They've lost that vote. That's the reality they have. And they're still living in a bubble. And they're just bad for wasting money as well, because Sinn Féin are actually using taxpayers' money for their housing leaflets that they're giving around. So they're all hoping that people...
I imagine donations, by the way. I imagine they get donations. Anyway, go on, anyway.
But the point I'm trying to say is, right, Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael, and I'd be the first to have destroyed this country. I blame them too, you know what I mean? They destroyed this country. As you said, the hospital trolleys, the wait list, the housing crisis, it's all part, they've all
But the most expensive building in Europe, the most expensive hospital in the world.
And all the rooms aren't even ready yet, and it's in the wrong place. It shouldn't even be where it is. It should have been out Blanchardstown.
I believe one room was repurposed 7 times so far, and it's never even been opened.
I have a friend that walks. He's one of the big top men on it, and he told me it's a disaster. It's design teams and problems constantly over and over and over again. He said it's, and he's telling me that, and he's a main contractor, and he said it's a disaster. No, that's the reality of it. But it's public money that they're wasting. As you said, the 336,000 on the bicycle shed. They constantly waste, and by the way, they're planning to give themselves another pay rise, Niall, probably if you saw that, €1,000 or something again. Like, they are completely laughing at us, and yet they're polling high, because they're loving the fact that the other parties are sinking. And the reason why the other parties are sinking is because they're all the same. There is no genuine opposition in that at all, Niall. So everybody's like, how do you vote for any of this? And that's why independents are doing well, Niall. That's why independents are doing well, because they're saying it as it is. Okay. You know, they're saying, look, this is a joke.
Are you, by the way, you're running for election, Gavin?
Absolutely. I'm out canvassing and it's going really well. I'll give you one before I go.
Just quick, man. I've got 30 seconds. Come on, 30 seconds.
I got a call from a fella in Griffith Avenue, and he goes, oh, Gavin, I got your flyer in the door today. It was yesterday, and he goes, I go, yeah, he goes, oh, I love what you said in your flyer about the congestion, like about the war on motorists, because of the bike lanes and the money. Like, that
people, oh, I seen the video. I seen the video you did where you stood there for ages and only one bike went past. I
said, that's the fact of it.
Yeah. Listen, Gavin, thanks very much. Good luck in the elections. Gavin Pepper, by the way, is a local councillor in the Finglas area. He's running the elections.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.